Good morning to one and all. Thank God for this opportunity that we can come and worship the Lord together. And today I will be touching on the topic, standing on the promises of God. And it's found in Hebrews chapter 6, verses 10 to 15. We know that as a Christian, the Lord has given us many promises. To be a Christian, the first promise that is given to us is eternal salvation, right? And then a home in heaven, and then many, many spiritual blessings. These are all wonderful blessings. And that is what we can find as a Christian. And all these are recorded for us in the Bible. Someone said, Christians do not live by explanation. There are many things we can't explain. We live by the promises of God. And that's very important. Although we can't explain, but we live by the promises of God, we trust Him and we believe that it will happen. So when we are facing a situation we do not understand, which would you prefer? An answer to that specific problem, or the one who has the answer to every problem? Which one do you prefer? Well, when the answer are not enough, my friend, as a Christian, we can't explain it, we cannot understand it, but we have Jesus. We have Jesus. And that is very important. We have Jesus. That is Jesus we can trust. We need to learn to appropriate the promises of God in our lives. We need to claim those promises because God will never, ever fail to keep what He has promised in the Bible. And that's how we live. We live by the promises of God. Now, before we touch on the topics here, before referring to the promises of God, the Hebrew writer gave words of appreciation to his reader. He said, God see what you do, and He appreciate everything you do for His honor and for His glory. And that's what God does for every one of us. In verse 10, all right, let's turn to verse 10 of Hebrews chapter 6. Here it says, for God is not unrighteous, that means not unfair, to forget your work and labor of love. That is in Hebrews. And in Malachi, also the same thing. Here it says, and then they that fear the Lord speak often one to another, and the Lord hearkened and heard it, and a book of remembrance was written. In other words, God is keeping a record of what we are doing in His book of remembrance. God knows, God remembers, and He recorded down. Many Christians regard salvation in a small circle. That means, when I die, I will be in heaven. That's all they think as a Christian. They want to be a Christian because they want to go to heaven. Full stop. And that's it. My friend, that is the glorious truth. That is true. When you are Christian, you die, you will sure go to heaven. That is the promise of God. There's no doubt about it. But the writer wants the reader to know. The writer enlarges the circle of salvation. And here he says in verse 9, let's go back to verse 9 again. The writer tells the readers, beloved, we are persuaded better things of joy and the things that accompany what? Salvation. Not just go to heaven, not just sins forgiven. There are many, many things that accompany salvation, after salvation. There are other things that accompany salvation. What are the things that accompany salvation? First, there is a diligence of service. You see, our lives have a purpose. We live in this world. We work in order to survive, right? That's why we all must work. Then we will survive. We have a roof. We have thing to. We have food to eat. And that is for all of us. We have a purpose in life. When we live in this world, we must work. As a Christians, God also gives us a purpose for life. When we receive salvation, we receive a new purpose in life. And that purpose is expressed in our service, in our work for the Lord. And Hebrews chapter 6 verse 10 says, "For God is not unrighteous, not unfair to forget your work." Your work. So this is the first thing. As a Christian, we must all learn, we must all serve the Lord in one way or another. We are saved to serve, in other words. Secondly, there is a demonstration of love. And this is found in the same verse. Here he says that when we receive salvation, we also receive a demonstration of love. And the writer says, labor of love, which he have shown towards his name, in that he have ministered to the saints and do minister. Not one time, but keep on doing it. Okay? The phrase labor of love stresses the strenuous effort put forth in the work. And we serve the work, serve the Lord. We serve others for the Lord's sake. Our service is done unto the Lord, not unto certain person, but unto the Lord. So God is not going to forget our labor of love. And the writer says, "For God is not unrighteous to forget your labor of love." In this regard, we thank God for many of you who have volunteered your service for the Lord, either as an usher or PA or in the kitchen helping here and there or cleaning up, whatever things that you put your hand in it for the Lord remember. And you put it in his book of remembrance. We serve not because of so-and-so. We serve because of the Lord. We are saved to serve. Now, a missionary once on furlough was giving a report about his mission field, his work in the mission field. And he was describing the difficulties of dealing with the people he served. And this is true. Many missionaries, when they were in the mission field, they encounter many, many problems. Let me tell you, I've been in the mission field for quite some time, I know. Culture problem, language problem, the way they live, the way they eat, not the same like us. You see? All kinds of problem. And someone commented, you see, "It really takes a lot of love for you to be a missionary." And the missionary replied, "I did not go over there because I love them. I go over there because I love the Lord. And the Lord told me to go there. And when I got there, the Lord taught me to love these people." You see the difference? And that's why they are all there. I know many of them. Those who are holding high position, give up everything, go to the very rural area, the most remote area, serving the Lord. Why? Not because they love them, because the Lord called them to go to the mission field. Some of them, after their wedding, you know where they go? not Hawaii, not all those beautiful places. Straight away, they went to the mission field. I know a few of them. One of them translate the Bible into one of the tribal people, for the tribal, the Lisu. Dr. Cook, after marriage, went in, translate the Bible. And he stayed there for at least 30 years, just doing the work. So, why did he go there? Because God caused him to go there. Why did he go there? Because he loves the Lord, he obeyed the Lord. Why did Isaac go to Thailand? Why did I go to Thailand? For what? There's nothing special. Vancouver is much better, I tell you the truth. But because the Lord calls us, we go there, we serve the Lord there. So there's a ministry. And thirdly, there is a development of maturity. And this is also found in the Hebrew chapter 6 here. And you read verse 11 and 12. Here it says, "And we desire that every one of you do show the same diligence to the full assurance of hope unto the end." The word end means not the end part, maturity, perfect. Okay, that's the meaning here, end. "That ye be not slothful, but followers of them who through faith and patience inherit the promises." Now the writer expresses a threefold desire for his reader. First of all, he wanted them to grow, to reach maturity. He was concerned about their individual as well as the group, as well as the whole church. And here he says, every one of you. And he wished that each one would show the same diligence, that is, with a firm resolution from the heart to reach maturity, wanted to grow. And he could not achieve the divine end for them. They had to work hard for its fulfillment. There are many things a pastor cannot do it for you. We can tell you, but you have to do it. And that's what the writer says. The word end here refers to perfection, refers to maturity. And that is God's goal, God's purpose for every believer to be a mature Christian. It's like parents. When a baby is born, it's not the end. It's a beginning of the work. And the parents' goal, what is that? That the child will grow up to be an adult, to be a mature man, able to be independent. Am I right? That is the desire of every parent. And God also has the same desire. The writer did not want them to become slothful. The word slothful is the same word used in chapter 5, verse 11 of Hebrews. It refers to dull, A dull person has no drive. A dull person has no push, no motivation, no desire to do anything that is regarding to God. And even if you want to do, he must be persuaded, keep on telling the person, and the person will do. That's a dull person. And a reader desire them to be motivated to move towards to the divine direction, to perfection. He wanted his reader to follow men of faith who patiently waited for God to fulfill his promises. And God's promises are received or inherited through faith and patience. Now remember that. The person must have faith. The person must have must be patient. Faith and patience speaks of two things. There are two elements, all right? And the word patient here means long-suffering. Long-suffering. All right, you look carefully in Hebrews chapter 10, verse 36 here. God say, here says, "For ye have need of patience, that ye have done the will of God, ye might receive the promise." In other words, God has promised you many things from the Bible. But there are two things you need to have. What are two things? First of all, you must have faith. Keep on believing. And secondly, there's a time element. You must be patient, waiting for God's time to come, to act according to His will. So these are the two things we must remember. And we need, that's how we need to wait for it. Fulfillment of the promises may not come when we expect it. Many a times we pray, and there's nothing happen. Because the time is not right. But we are to wait patiently and keep on trusting that God is going to do at His own time, not our time. And the writer gives an illustration, all right, from the life of Abraham. We all know the story of Abraham very well. Abraham was a man of faith, and he claimed God's promises and was willing to wait for the fulfillment of God's promises. And we know that this is found in the promises that God gave to Abraham is found in Genesis chapter 12, verses 1 to 3. And here we know that Abraham came from a pagan family in earth of the Chaldees. And one day God appeared to him and said, "Get thee out of thy country and from thy kindred and from thy father's house, and unto a land that I will show thee." Now God did not tell him where he was going. Just come out. How many of you would do that? I think we will not move unless we are sure where we are heading, right? I think many of us will think of that. God told him to get out of the family and then move on. But God told them that he would bless his seed and make his seed a blessing to the world. How could that be? Abraham at that time had no son or daughter. And we know that both of them, husband and wife, had passed the age of childbearing. Past the age already. Impossible, medically impossible. In order to have a nation, we all know that they had to have a son. That's the only way. And the promise centered in the future birth of a son to Abraham and to Sarah. Without a son, Abraham can never become the father of the nation. The Bible says that Abraham believed. And the only guarantee of the fulfillment of the promise was the unconditional word of God, of a God of integrity. Just trust God. This is what God says. The Bible says so. God says so. I believe it. That is his faith in the promise of God. And God alone was responsible for the words of promise and for its accomplishment. It is his business. Although there are many difficulties, no one can really explain it. You ask the doctor will say it is impossible. Right? And yet Abraham believed it. He believed it. God gave Abraham that promise. On top of that promise, he made a pledge. He made a pledge. Hebrews chapter 6, verse 14. All right. Surely, verse 13 says that he gave a pledge. Okay, he made an oath. Verse 14, he says, "Surely, blessing, I will bless thee, and multiplying, I will multiply thee." Well, man might often break his words. Even sometimes he preach, he make a promise, and yet he still did not keep his promise. But God here, and therefore it is important in the court that he make his oath. He make his oath. But God promises, depend not on us, but on his faithfulness. Actually, what God says is enough. The Bible tells me so. That is enough. But God swore with an oath that he would do what he had promised. An extra mile. And to help men to understand that God means business, he made a pledge. And we must know that when men make a pledge, if you are Christian, you put your hand on the Bible. But here, God is greater than all. So how to give and pledge? He pledged by himself, his own name. He promised to Abraham, embrace, multiply, blessing, and physical descendants. All right, that's his promise. And verse 15 says that, and so after he had patiently endured, he obtained the promise. Abraham, although received the promise of God, he has to experience the trust element and then the time element in order to receive the promise. And though God said, you are going to have a descendants like the stars and sands, we know that year after year had passed and there was no sign of having a child, right? He waited and waited and waited. For how many years? Sunday school teachers and students. Anyone knows? How many years? He waited for 25 years. Oh, already past the age of childbearing, waited enough 25 years. He make it absolutely impossible for anyone to bear a child, any human being to bear a child. And God gave him a son. And you remember that God gave him a son, and not only give him a son, God gave the son a name. What name? You ask Rebecca, will tell you. Isaac. Isaac. And the meaning Isaac is love. Love. And God told Abraham, Sarah and Abraham laughed. I'm going to have a son. A laugh of joy. And he had designed him to be the heir of the covenant of the promise. The covenant means promise, not Ishmael. Now, Abraham believed God and patiently waited on his promise. He did not know when God was going to fulfill his promise, but he firmly believed that God would keep his words. And he waited for 25 years. And in that period, Abraham waited patiently. He, against hope, believing in hope, that he might become the father of many nations. Romans chapter 8, verse 18. He did not allow the weakness of his body or the deadness of Sarah's womb to dissuade him, as both of them had passed the age of childbearing. There was no possibility of having a child. He had strong faith and confidence that God will perform what he promised. Finally, verse 15 says that Abraham obtained the promise. God gave Abraham son. And that's how it happened. In Genesis 21 verse 1 says, and the Lord visited Sarah, and as he had said, and the Lord did unto Sarah, and he had, as he had spoken. God kept his word. God kept his promise. Dearly beloved, God has given to us many promises. Not a son. You have many children, many of you. But what? Many promises. And these promises, money cannot buy. It comes only from God. Some of the things you have to wait. Wait for His time. And the Lord will provide. The Lord will provide. And we must have this faith. Keep trusting the Lord. Keep waiting. And when the time comes, God will fulfill His promise to us. I do not know what God has promised to you. I know sometimes the promise that God had given to me. I remember that when God called me to do the work in Thailand in 1974, the call came. I acted. I did not know where to go. I went to Thailand, but there was no sign of it. But I keep waiting for Him to show me. In 1976, the call came again and confirmed, this is a place that you go and serve Him. Help this person, help the old man. I was there to help an old man. And so I went there and helped this old man for quite a number of years. I'm still helping the mission work in Thailand. How many years already? 1976 until now. I'm still doing the work. So my friend, sometimes 2 years, sometimes even more. I know of a person who prayed for 20 over years for his father to believe in the Lord Jesus Christ. You know who? William Sia. Achai, you know William Sia? He prayed for his father for 25 years to come to know the Lord Jesus Christ. And he prayed for 25 years. And in the end, the father came to Christ and became very fervent in the faith. The father attended our church. All right. Every morning we'll do a Bible reading and then before do other things. So when the time comes, God will answer. Similarly, there are many things we pray, but no signs of coming. Be patient. Wait for His time, and God will answer our prayer. May God help each one of us to keep trusting and waiting for His fulfillment. Let us pray. Dear Lord Jesus, we thank You for Thy precious word that give us encouragement that You are the word, that You are the God who keep Your word of promises, that we can trust in Thee. And may Thou continue to give us this patience to endure, to wait for Your promise. We give thanks all this in Jesus' name. Amen.